Welcome, listeners, to our first bonus episode by Regarding Dracula, exploring the cultural context and history of vampires. Special thanks to all our crowdfund supporters on Seed and Spark. You are the ones who made this possible. My name is Hannah Wright. My pronouns are she, her, and I am one of the executive producers and directors of Regarding Dracula. In our first episode, we will be exploring the real-life implications of real-life vampires. I am so glad to be joined by two guests today. Would you go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Sure. My name is Drakkar.
Oh, yeah. I'm Helvetica.
And we are professionally and personally vampire hunters.
Yeah. Kind of a full-time job.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Now, what came first for the two of you, your first meeting or being vampire hunters?
It's kind of hard to say. We've been both in the game for so long and working a lot of angles together in it that time goes funny. I think you and I met first at that support group meeting.
Yeah. Funny story, actually. I mean, when you're undercover as deep as we are, it's important to really immerse yourself in the culture. So I was at a show, like a concert with a friend of mine, and we both just woke up in the middle of a field. I mean, if I didn't know better, I would think I'd been trampled to death and resurrected. I felt so bad. She tragically actually had been turned into a vampire. Mm. And I knew kind of from that moment that I really wanted to learn more about vampires. That was my first time understanding that they were real. And so I started going to support group meetings with her, with the hopes of eventually slaying her and everyone that she met.
Yeah. And I mean, I had wound up there because I have sort of a long family history in the vampire community. My grandfather was a vampire, and he really tried to get me into it from like an early age. He was very into the fellowship of it all and sort of the community aspect. And I went to a couple of functions, a couple events, but the rituals just didn't sit right with me. And, you know, I would go to a couple things just to make him happy and show up there, you know, as familial support. And he happened to be at that support group meeting and we both met. And when you're the only two non-vampires in a room, you kind of, you know, sidle up, and we've been sort of a team ever since.
Yeah.
Now, I would love to hear from you about the difference between being professionally and personally vampire hunters.
It's a job that follows you home.
Yeah, I mean, I live in a house with 12 vampires, and then I'm the only human, obviously, though they think I'm a vampire. And then obviously, you know, like I sleep in a pile in the basement with everyone, and I'm romantically in a relationship with a vampire. That's all part of the job. That's literally how you immerse yourself. I mean, we talk about this all the time.
It's a lot like investigative journalism. You know, you're in the scene, you embed yourself. I'm in a band, and every other member of that band is vampires.
Yeah, the Fangers. You guys are really good.
Yeah, the Fangers. Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. What genre of music is that band?
It's pop punk, but we kind of dive into ska sometimes.
I was going to say ska.
Yeah, well, it's just because Lars has a trumpet and has been trying to learn it, and so we'll incorporate that into the pop punk, and that's kind of what ska is. I mean, don't say that to a ska fan, but...
Oh, sure, sure. Is it difficult to play the trumpet with vampire fangs?
You know, the thing about the trumpet is I think it would be difficult to play the trombone. The embouchure of a trumpet is a lot tighter, very front of mouth, but whereas you'd have to use a trombone, uses more of your lips and more of your mouth, so... I'll have to see what Lars thinks.
Wait, you know, Debbie plays harmonica, and it doesn't seem to be a problem.
That's true.
So I think, you know...
I think you get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how often do you think about how your mouth feels?
I'm thinking about it right now.
But aside from right now.
So you spoke on this some, but what is a typical day like in the life of a vampire hunter?
You want to go first?
Yeah, well, I mean, a typical day is sleeping. And that was an adjustment, you know, the night schedule.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. I mean, pretty much from... leaving that concert to, you know, following my friend to the support group and deciding to kind of like go through the motions and like pretend to be a vampire, I found the switch a lot easier than I expected. I kind of gave up on being awake during the day and took to the night pretty well. But, you know, it's a coping mechanism. yeah, way it, you deal with the job.
It's surprising when you're embedded in a community like that, how closely, how quickly you can adjust and adapt. Like mm-hmm. I had no problem switching. Drinking blood for the first time was interesting.
Yeah, it was weird.
Oh, so you have partaken of the devil's sacrament.
Yeah, well, you have to. I mean, it'd be super weird if you're, you know, at like Dave's house, for example, for like one of his parties. And, you know, like we're all just kind of chilling, kumbayaing by the fire and someone passes around the O negative. Like you can't. I mean, if you say no, it's like, why?
It's weird. I have only had devil's sacrament once. It's usually we do sort of micro brews or sort mm-hmm. of smaller sustainable things. Devil's sacrament ends up it's a fancy thing. It's like a once in a while thing. So I've only gotten to try it once.
I don't think it's as good as people say it is. I think it's honestly like I prefer like organic blood. Like I like to, you know, like we're talking about, like we have a lot of sustainable sources for blood. I was surprised by that. Like I thought that there was going to be a lot more murder. I've encountered none.
Yeah.
In my no vampire on vampire murder. I mean like human to vampire murder for sure, but like part of it. So definitely drinking blood is part of it. I don't know if you've noticed this, and I wouldn't expect this because obviously we're humans, we're not vampires, but I can tell what type of blood is like, immediately just by smell.
It's weird. It's kind of like, you know, people who get really into wine can like identify, mm-hmm. oh, this has floral notes. This is very ammonia. I don't know enough about wine, but it's similar with blood, but you can definitely identify the type. And to the point that if you're like, out on a hot day and someone's mm-hmm. doing some work and they're really sweating.
You can smell it
on their skin.
Yeah. Like salivating. There's like a real salivating kind of mouthfeel. I get that a lot with people who have spent a lot of time on the coast. I'd say mm-hmm. that's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Not so much like it's not just like a type, you know, like A, B, O. It's like also like, what do you do? Where have you been?
It's terroir.
You can taste that. Yeah. It's terroir for sure.
While you are undercover with vampires, what is the goal of a long con like that?
Really, to find community in a way, and understand sort of how these covens and different groups, they don't all call themselves covens, just how all of these groups came together and the intergroup dynamics and mm-hmm. sort of the culture and the vibe. It's really. It, like I've said before, the investigative journalism is sort of the closest thing I could say because you mm-hmm. really, you become embedded in it. What was your question? What is the goal?
Yes. Why a long con rather than specific targets or singling people out?
If I killed a vampire, I'm not in that community anymore.
Yeah.
So then what have I done? I've killed one vampire,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's sort of better to not kill them.
I mean, and we've witnessed vampire deaths.
Yeah,
we were at a beautiful service
in the last month.
There were two.
Yeah,
there's a really nasty bout of different bloodborne pathogens going around. I'm actually on the board for an organization that helps raise money to eradicate those. It's really deeply rooted in the vampire community right now.
And the thing people don't realize is immortality is just you don't age to death.
Yeah,
you know?
There's so many other ways to die. I mean,
service was beautiful.
I mean, it was really powerful to lay her to rest.
Yeah. You know, have you ever seen like a magician release a flock of doves at like a magic show and they soar into the air?
Even one time.
No.
Oh.
Well, honestly, don't, because this is so much better.
They did it with bats. It was the entire congregation at the end. It was beautiful. All but us. And a couple of other vampires who choose not to turn into bats.
Yeah.
Because there are lots of reasons not to do that, too. Mm-hmm. It's something that we've discovered.
Mm. Tell me more about the turning into bats. Is that if there are many reasons not to do it, then under what circumstances have you witnessed such an amazing feat?
Well, I mean, Drake does it all the time. Like, that's his whole thing.
Yeah, that's a big thing. I mean, that's why he's, like, bald, like, fully bald. Because your hair falls out.
Immediately.
And your hair grows slower when you're a vampire, we've observed. So it's just a pain.
I keep my hair short so that if people see me, they assume that, oh, I just haven't been a bat for a while. Because if you see a vampire with long hair, that is cause for like a conversation. Like, oh, why haven't you been doing the bat thing? Mm-hmm. And it's so convenient to be able to do it
mm-hmm.
That it is a choice to not. But yeah, one of the main reasons is that all of your hair falls out.
You all strike me as more anthropologists of vampire culture than people who hunt them down and murder them.
Ghost hunters don't murder ghosts.
An excellent point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's difficult because anthropology is a part of, I think, any hunter field. You know, we're really like hunter-gatherers, gathering information. It's about the hunt itself. I mean, what is the hunt once the kill is done?
And you know, like I mentioned earlier, we wouldn't be a member of the community, and then that would be the end of it all. And there is still a lot of hunting involved. Like me and the Fangers, we have to hunt down venues that'll play shows that late into the night because we can't even get there for load-in until at least 8 p.m., especially in the summertime. So, you know, there's a lot of seekers.
More vampire seekers.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, we do. They should all die, kind of.
Right. I mean, it's an abomination on humanity. Well, I mean,
it's a sin.
Yeah. I mean, humanity is not great. But, you know, it's a balance. It's,
yeah,
you know, it's hard when you're in it all the time. Sleeping, eating, living.
And like I've
drinking, really
grown up around drinking a lot. That's one of the things that I think people don't really realize, too. Like, you live in a house with 13 people in it, you know, counting yourself. But you've told me before, like, there's not a lot of dishes to do. Like, everyone's pretty responsible.
We all just have a cup. I mean, I'm pretty much fully on blood now. I was anemic before I became a vampire hunter. And so, like, it's been really nice. Honestly, I like a liquid diet. It's less to think about and everyone just washes their cup. I mean, you really don't have to worry about it. This communal living can be really hard when you have to think about dishes and, you know.
Roommates can be the worst.
They can.
Yeah. Vampire roommates, not in my experience. They've been great.
Honestly.
Fascinating.
I'm going to a camp in, what day is it? In about 2 weeks. All vampires. We're just going to do like a little retreat with sort of yoga. And it's kind of got to focus on microbrew kombucha, which is something that's very big in the vampire community. Interestingly, big on the booch.
Is that camp Brew Blood or Young Blood?
Usually Young Blood.
Okay.
Like the recurring event is usually at Young Blood.
Okay.
Why?
Why on the kombucha?
Why kombucha in particular?
I think because it takes a lot of patience, and that's something that vampires have in abundance. It comes with the immortality of it all. And it's an interesting flavor, and it's weirdly close to human blood. Not the flavored kind, but like very plain kombucha. And it mixes really well with blood because it's fungal.
Yeah. Fermented also. Fermenting, you know.
There's kind of a death rebirth thing.
Yeah. You know, I feel like it interacts well with not just vampire systems. I think also, obviously, human systems. I mean, I drink a ton of kombucha, blood bucha, the booch, as we call it. But I feel like definitely on a body that's like slower, like that's not processing in the same way, it's nice to have this kind of like pickled, fermented element. I mean, I feel like living among vampires for so long, this is my first time talking just like to humans.
Yeah,
months at least.
I know. Usually it's like you're the only human I talk to on a regular basis. It's mostly vamp. So talking to you is very interesting.
Wow.
And on the final note of the kombucha thing too, it has a lot to do with macrobiotic. When you're consuming primarily blood, it can throw off your digestive flora and you need to balance
it's
that.
It's all about gut health when you're a vampire. I mean, you don't have to eat really as much, but Kimchi, kombucha, occasionally kefir, but there's a lot of lactose intolerance in the community. So, you know, you balance it out. But I mean, that good flora fauna gut health is super important. I know a lot about vampire health because obviously I'm the head of the blood pathogen organization. And,
of course,
you know, anything helps if you have anything to donate. We're really trying to eradicate these bloodborne diseases that are really affecting the vampire community right now.
What is, before we move on, what is the name of that organization?
Blood Now.
Blood Now. You heard it, folks. Donate to Blood Now. Now, from your descriptions, one might believe that vampire hunting is all glamour. Is that the case?
No. I mean, It's a lot like having a very active social life. There are ups and downs. There's a lot of drama, you know, not all vampires. Sure, it's like a big factor to be part of a community is to be a vampire, but there's, you know, a lot of interpersonal struggle. There's a lot of relationships. When your lifespan is basically unending unless something happens to you, there's very interesting relationship dynamics that play out, especially amongst the older generations, like vampires that have been around for a really long time.
Drake is weird.
Drake is weird.
Yeah.
He's kind of the OG.
If it's not unkind to ask, how old is Drake?
Oh, gosh. This whole show that you're interviewing us about, like, is his whole thing, isn't it?
Drake is short for interesting. Moving on.
You'd think that, but actually, he's weird. He's a weird dude. I think that whole thing was like an act.
Yeah, like, he's strange in a way. Like, I don't get the ick. He's not, like, creepy. Yeah. He's just an oddball. He can go and go and go.
Mm. Yeah.
He'll tell you. He's one of those people, you ask him what time it is, he'll tell you how to build a watch kind of thing.
And he's always got $2 bills. $2 bills, balloon animals, like, constantly.
Does he do the quarter thing to you, the behind the ear thing?
Yes.
I'm like, Drake, we've been friends for at least 60 years at this point.
It's just wild.
Yeah.
60, you say? You don't look a day over, I don't know, maybe 30?
It's the gut health.
Yeah, it's honestly paying attention to what you put in your body.
And
what's in your body most of the time? It's blood. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, being around, you know, all these famous people are doing these IVs, these oxygen bars, but blood bars are next.
I think so. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. This sort of a little pet project that we have going on is writing some papers to submit to you know, the various regulatory agencies about trying to open up blood bars for everybody.
We think that'll help end the stigma and really help make sure that everyone is getting access to good, healthy blood. I mean, mainly for the vampires who need it, but obviously we've found a lot of benefits as humans. So
yeah.
I think everyone.
Accessibility is so important.
So important.
And I have to say too, and feel free to cut this out, but do you have any idea how freeing it is to not have to poop?
I imagine your time is open up significantly.
You would not believe.
I can get so much done.
Time people spend pooping.
Mm-hmm. I don't even look at my phone anymore.
I'm sorry. To revisit the idea of Drake being the show's whole deal, as you put it, are you implying that the incidents recorded in Transylvania and in London were all merely commitment to the bit?
I mean, that sounds like Drake. I mean, I've read some of this stuff. He has
classic
been around.
Drake, I swear.
The thing that's weird is that it's hard to tell if he really bought into it or if he was just committing it, like, or committing to a bit.
You know, obviously we've known him for a while. I mean, not a long time in vampire years, but obviously for our lifespans. He sometimes does like a theater professor stint. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll be at some liberal arts school for a little while. And he always is like, you know, like Professor D, and he always wants to do like a unit on fantasy and like monster lore. He's so into the meta of it. I think, you know, you get to be that age and it just kind of everything is meta.
I think something that Drake has sort of, the big thing I've taken away from interacting with Drake is that when you have so long, you kind of just need to become a different person and have different lifespans and different times. I don't know how self-aware he is when he's doing that, I guess.
Yeah.
You're implying that these vicious attacks on random innocent women were somehow out of his control because of some kind of theater?
Oh.
No, we're implying that they were staged.
Yeah. No, he wouldn't.
Yeah.
He, like I said, like, I don't get the creeps from him. He's super nice, just weird.
Yeah.
So, especially, I mean, back in those days, you know, we didn't have Twitter and Facebook and smartphones. It would be pretty easy to, you know, set up a piece of performance art, make sure some people from papers are there and sensationalize it.
And I would honestly assume that I think that for a while he was kind of distant from human culture. I think it was a vampire theater troupe. And that humans just kind of like got in, saw what was going on, but it was all really, really satire. I mean, you know what happens when satire goes sort of misunderstood.
You could say in some ways, I guess he was ahead of his time.
Now, I do just want to point out, Jakar, that you did say we. when referring to interactions with Drake that may have taken place more than 100 years ago.
Oh, if I did, then I misspoke. I've only known Drake for about 60 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, six probably? Lose track of time. I mean,
you do, especially being awake. It's weird how much your circadian rhythm changes when you're not awake during the day. So mm-hmm. I would have to check that. I've known him a long time. Like, I think I could say I know him pretty well. As well as you can know someone who's been around, gosh, that long, you mm-hmm. know? He's sort of one of the older folks.
I'm curious about if Drake is who you say he is, then he's come over from Europe, and I'm wondering about cultural differences between the European and American vampire scenes, if there is in fact a difference.
I mean, you're really talking about old world versus new world, if we can use another wine analogy.
There's one that I feel like that goes unnoticed, though, that would be on the top, is that tea is very big here now in the vampire community, and I assume that came from at least the English vampires, but tea is good.
Yeah.
So, but
I mean, kombucha, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Mushroom tea.
There's not as much of a difference across the board with older vampires. I mean, they certainly have a culture. You have generations, just like with anything else. But, like, you know, my friend who was turned into a vampire, you know, whenever that was, feels so long ago. You know, she's such a young vampire compared to a lot of, you know, who you would think are her peers now. But most of the older vampires are from Europe. I mean, you obviously have American vampires, but I think most of them are younger. I mean, it's kind of, there was a lot of dueling.
Yeah, they're definitely, at least, not a lot of this history is recorded. Mm-hmm. This oral tradition is still a very big thing. The risk of recording it is huge, right? So that's yet another reason why we are in the perfect place to be vampire hunters, because we're sort of able to receive these oral traditions. But yeah, there was a lot of dueling. I definitely think the migration from Europe to the Americas has brought with it some of those cultures for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this has anything necessarily to do with the question, but theatrics are big amongst... Mm-hmm. Like almost every, like I'm in a band with some of the vampires. A bunch of them are involved in community theater. Mm-hmm. I think the adoption of different personas and different idiosyncrasies and things like that that come along with acting are very popular amongst vampires in general, probably because of the long lifespan, that I think mm-hmm. a lot of the sort of smaller cultural differences just kind of end up in the mix.
Well, there's that joke, you know, that like Hollywood is full of vampires. It is, though, really, really full of vampires. There's so many actors. I mean, and not the ones you would think
Wicked.
That are vampires.
Who was, I can't remember the last name. The guy that was in that Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie. He played the main guy. Martin Sheen? Martin Short? God, it's one of those British Martins. One of those sort of charming, unassuming British Martins.
Martin Freeman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Vampire.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know who isn't a vampire? Gwyneth Paltrow.
Mm-hmm.
And
you'd think so.
I would like to think so. It's actually kind of embarrassing. Mm-hmm. She keeps showing up like in costume, you know, trying to be like, oh, like I'd be a really good addition to the team. And it's, I mean, it's a little bit tragic.
And honestly, it I feel secondhand embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
And like sometimes we'll be setting up to go to a function. I do not know how she hears about these things, but like we'll walk into like the room or whatever, and they're setting up the tables, and she'll be there working the staff, and she'll just be like, oh, my neck is so stiff. Mm-hmm. I just need to stretch like this, and like close her eyes and like be like pointing at her neck. And it's just like, what are you doing?
That is pathetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This actually leads me, the talk of theatrics, what does folklore get correct about vampires, and what does folklore miss?
I think it misses largely the very tight-knit community.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of reductively put that they just sort of glom together because they have to, but really it's a lot more dynamic than that. But Drake does do the blah, blah, blah thing.
Yeah, he does.
He does do that.
Mostly when he's had a couple, but...
Yeah.
I mean, well, and, you know, your experience is very unique because you are, you know, in a blended vampire-human family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, vampires are made, not born, but lots of vampires have human families.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm the only one in my family who's not a vampire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Is that difficult for you?
No, it's all I knew growing up. Mm. You know, when I went to college, it was weird. They were very accommodating. I didn't drink blood when I was growing up. You know, they made me mac and cheese and Gorton's fish sticks and hot dogs. Mm-hmm. I ate normal child food and was awake during the day. So I did, I guess it was kind of hard because I did mostly communicate with my parents via notes. Mm-hmm. But I was an only child. I had a lot of friends. And being back and invested in the community, I feel like I had an easier time integrating into it because of that. Mm-hmm.
You have the existing background. Was it, on the flip side then, difficult for you, Helvetica, to ingratiate yourself into that community as a newcomer?
You know, I would have thought so, but it turns out, like, most of my friends were vampires. You know, I was really into, like, punk music, rock music, you know, in my human life. Well, I'm still a human, but, you know, we call it our human life.
Of course.
Deep in it.
Yeah.
And once my friend was turned at that concert where we were both unconscious, and she unfortunately was turned, I realized, like, a ton of our friends, a ton of people that we already liked were vampires. And it was a pretty easy transition. My body just felt like attuned to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it felt so natural. And I think that, you know, more people should try it just to see if that's the kind of schedule they want to be on.
Yeah, there is we don't want to downplay the adjustment period too much. You get very bloated feeling mm-hmm. for a little while. There's kind of a hot feeling like in your veins the first couple of times, at least for me.
Yeah, I felt like what I experienced was watching Cynthia go through that transformation. I felt like I had like a lot of sympathy pains, you know, like it was just so like I'm an empath and it was just so intense to watch her go through it that like I felt the fire in my veins and I felt like I had fangs growing in and, you know, it just like I was right there with her. She was fevered. I felt fevered. Mm. But, you know, ultimately, obviously, like that was something she was going through on her own.
Because you, of course, are not a vampire.
Exactly.
No, you're just so caring. It's honestly, it's an inspiration.
Thanks.
For me, I was reacting gastrointestinally to the blood.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, speaking of reacting gastrointestinally, I think that it's time to ask the question that our listeners really want to know the answer to, which is, are vampires really sexy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's kind of across the board.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it's wicked.
I would say, you know, like those bald actors, like the ones you're thinking about when I say like hot bald actors, vampires, guaranteed.
Just about.
Really into batting.
I know Alan Rickman wasn't bald, but he also wasn't a vampire, but he's one of the ones a lot of people think was.
Mm-hmm. He was totally, he was in the community though.
Yeah, like, he was tangentially involved.
He, sure. Like us, you know, like a human.
Didn't he for a while, he made a big contribution to Blood Now or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, he was friends with the founder and very involved.
But yeah, so BVE, big vampire energy, but not a vampire. It has something to do with when you pay that much attention to what's going into your body. Like we mentioned earlier, you pay that much attention to your gut health, your figure, you have a lot longer to live. Mm-hmm. They are just on one.
So then it's really just a matter of paying attention to your appearance and caring about it that makes the vampires so sexy.
Well, no, not exactly. I mean, I think they definitely have some sort of, I don't know if it's like, whatever the transformative thing that occurs definitely messes with a lot of the parts of your system.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it has to do, like, you can't see them in mirrors, right? That's a whole thing. Actually, that's why I had to take down all the mirrors at my place, because when we come over to jam a band night, I don't want anyone to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it has to do with the way perception is altered, because they are sexy to everyone.
Yeah.
And it's almost hard to pin down. It's just about how they appear. How they are perceived, just like the fact they can't be seen in mirrors, they are seen with your eyes as sexy.
Yeah, I think you experience that with like when you see someone and you're like, oh, I should not think that person is attractive. Probably a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's really a vibe.
Pete
it's
Davidson.
Like mojo.
Oh, vampire.
Yeah.
Well, we all knew that.
Weird dude.
He was at our mixer.
He's obviously a newer vampire and, you know,
yeah.
The young ones.
Was it difficult for you then? Yeah, clearly, you two are both very sexy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I can see you now on camera, and both attractive people who are very sexy. Was it difficult for you to become as sexy as you are in order to fly under the radar as definitely not vampires?
Oh, shucks, that's a big compliment. Thank you. I get dressed in the dark. I don't really look at myself in the mirror very much because you don't...
Right, because you've taken them down to make other people comfortable and not because seeing your reflection would out you as not a vampire.
Yeah, well, that's another part of it is like, you get in the habit of not looking in mirrors or reflective surfaces because, you know, everyone else is used to not looking. And
it's actually a tactic that you have as a vampire hunter because, like, you obviously can't control. I mean, we're trying to pass as vampires, but, like, you might be out with your friends and there you have a reflection. So if you're not looking, they're not going to be looking.
Yeah.
It's like a mind over matter kind of thing. And so you're always directing their attention away. I mean, I haven't seen what I look like in a mirror, since before that concert.
Yeah.
Years ago.
You simply haven't looked.
Well, the thing that, like, I usually will just sort of check on my phone camera, the front-facing camera, because that's just sort of more convenient. Mm-hmm. And also, that's what a lot of vampires do, because it's not actually the act of reflecting. It's the silver nitrate that they use in the mirrors that just does not reflect them
back.
I'm not entirely sure on the science of it, but that's what everyone says. Because you can see vampires on camera.
Obviously.
And if you couldn't, could you imagine how would actors be doing anything, right?
That would be foolish.
God, it would be so funny, though, wouldn't it? If they shot like a whole movie with a bunch of vampire actors and then they went to the editing room and they were like, guys?
They would have to CGI Martin Freeman as well as Benedict Cumberbatch in those Hobbit movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is vampire hunting what you would call a viable career for someone who is just starting out and perhaps looking for their path in life?
I would say, I heard this once, if you don't mind me taking this, I think that this is the way to think about it. Treat becoming a vampire hunter like you would treat like theater or any job that's really immersive in the arts and ask yourself, can I do anything else? And if the answer is no, because if you can do anything else, you should. It's hard. The double life is grueling. I mean, there is so much compartmentalization.
There's also asking if there's anything else you want to do, right?
Yeah.
Because you can't while you're in it.
No, and leaving it while possible seems kind of impossible once you've begun.
Mm-hmm. It's very hard to pull yourself out of that. Because once you've been embedded in a community that long, if you're just out on the street and, you know, Lars walks by coming down from the music store or something because he got his trumpet tuned up, sees you, waves at you, and you are just not the person Lars knew, suddenly the vampires know that they had a human in their midst. And that's even worse than killing one vampire. Then you've killed none and they will probably kill you.
Tell me, what would you do to improve the vampire hunting industry?
I think that's what we're trying to do with Blood Now is, and you know, like just to say again, every contribution does help, whatever anyone can give. But it is super important that we normalize like acts of drinking blood and like a lot of other, you know, vampiric kind of practices that we believe can benefit everyone. They've benefited us, two humans who've just been living among vampires.
Like sleeping in a pile, you mentioned earlier. That's
oxytocin,
right? It's the it's the natural bonding drug and it comes from skin-to-skin contact and sleeping in a pile with a bunch of other people. I think there's a lot humans can take from vampires.
Yeah. And so I think as we make those things more common, it's easier to kind of have it all. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, we're pretty well in this, but we want future vampire hunters to be able to have choice, to keep some aspects of their human life should they choose.
Yeah. Not sure how we get past the sun thing.
How do you get past the sun thing?
I think if there was an answer for that question, we would not have vampire hunters, as it were, because I don't think that there would be, I think they would just be out and about, you know. There is, like, you can apply a lot of thick makeup, but, Like, there are a couple members of... Have you ever seen the Blue Man Group?
No.
You haven't? Oh, they're those... That live percussive show that plays out where everyone is painted mm-hmm. with thick blue paint and they play strange instruments.
Blue Men Group, like Smurfs.
You've not heard of the Blue Man Group?
No.
There are some members of the Blue Man Group that are vampires. I would encourage you to look it up. Mm-hmm. They're actually...
Some sort of theater? Or...
Yeah, kind of. It's like a musical... I almost said musical theater, but that is a thing that is very different.
It's almost like that, except that it is a concert.
It is theatrical music.
And you're saying some of these blue men are vampires?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're under like three layers of latex paint. That's like SPF 8 bajil.
Mm-hmm.
Which is short for bajillion.
Can you get sunscreen? Is that commercially available? I could use some.
Blue paint?
No, the high SPF doesn't matter. Please, now, do you think that vampires are a threat to non-vampires' daily lives?
Daily lives?
No.
I mean, do you drive a car?
Occasionally.
That's far more dangerous than a vampire.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that you will probably ever do that will put you in more danger than driving a car.
Yeah. And that's something like most people do constantly. Well, not, you know, a lot of the time. We don't think about that, you know? You're taking this piece of metal careening faster than your body was ever meant to go down a street with a bunch of other people doing the same thing in various weather conditions and lighting conditions. That's dangerous. Mm-hmm.
Cars are an affront to God. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So vampires compared to that? Nah.
Do vampires accost random people on the street or like all murders, are they mostly committed by friends and family?
You know, that's a misconception. That's definitely a misconception I had when I was getting into vampire hunting, is I was like, there's going to be a lot of killing of humans. I've never seen a human killed by a vampire.
I did one time, but it was because the person had a peanut allergy. So that's a little bit different.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah, that ruined the bake sale.
You did that. That was you.
I mean, I didn't make the peanut butter cookies. I was just working the table where it happened. And I made the sale.
It was completely unrelated to
They looked
vampire.
Like chocolate chip cookies, which is why I think that person was confused. And it was really hectic.
Yeah.
But I mean, technically it was Chaz who made them.
So then if vampires are not a threat to a non-vampire person, then what can we non-vampire people do to support and uplift the vampire community?
Well, you could think about supporting Blood Now.
Mm-hmm.
Blood Now is an organization that will help all of us get access to blood right now. Clean blood, good blood. Whether you need it for a transfusion or a snack, I would really recommend looking into Blood Now. It's probably not what you think. It's certainly not what I thought.
Definitely not what I thought.
What did you think exactly?
Oh, I mean, like, I think I assumed that they just like had a bunch of like human slaves that they were like siphoning blood off of Matrix style and keep like selling that off to other vampires. But it's actually just like all donation based. Some of the blood is synthetic.
Yeah, blood multiplication.
There's a lot of research into stem cells that's contributed to some great strides that don't just have to do with producing blood for, you know, obviously like in like caloric intake. We've also there are a lot of vampires in the medical field, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, yes. You have all of this time for research. You're able to work long hours. So you ever seen a really chipper doctor at 3 a.m. who's like, I've been here for 30 hours. Vampire.
Absolutely.
Definitely a vampire. Mm-hmm.
Now, just to be clear on this, you two are not vampires.
No. My grandfather really tried hard to get me into the whole thing when I was young, but no.
So how old are you exactly?
Oh, I'm 65.
No, yes. And Helvetica, if it's not too much to ask, how old are you?
I'm trying to remember.
You know, you could even, what was the concert that you and your friend went to that might give us an idea?
It was like this big festival, Wood something.
Was it the one with like Jimi Hendrix and...
Oh, yeah, he was there.
Yeah. I don't know how you got tickets. I tried so hard.
I know. It was so lucky.
Mm-hmm. Woodstock.
Yeah, that's the one.
The first one.
Oh, wow. Vampires at Woodstock. I was probably should have seen that coming.
Like a teenager, I think.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, what? I was a kid, obviously. I'm not that old. I mean, it's like, what, the 90s now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Just about. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us today for this bonus episode. We really appreciate your time. Is there anything that you'd like to tell our listeners of regarding Dracula, but before we say goodbye?
If you end up talking with Dracula, the best thing to do is just not continue asking questions.
He will go.
He will go. If you do the polite thing and just try and keep the conversation going by, like, engaging, he's not going to stop. At a certain point, you just have to be silent and he will get the message, but he'll just go.
I mean, if I was going to say something regarding Drake, I'd say, like, rather than just letting him talk himself out, ask him about his experimental jazz mixtape.
Oh, my gosh.
You will die.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's the whole thing's on Bandcamp. I'll see if I can find a link and send it to you. Oh, my God.
Literally? Will I literally die? Just checking.
No, you won't literally die.
I mean, you might if you listen to the whole thing. There's so many tracks.
Oh, yeah, it is really long. You might not live the whole time, but I don't think it will kill you. No, it wouldn't. I mean, we're humans. We listen to it. So
yeah,
it's fine.
I haven't listened to all of it. Have you listened to all of it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Thank you both so much. And please have a pleasant night.
Yes, you too. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
April Fools! Thank you so much for listening to this very special bonus episode of Regarding Dracula. Our serious bonus episodes will start, along with the first of our letters from our good friend Jonathan Harker, in May, and we can't wait to show you what we've been working on. In the meantime, thanks to our wonderful guests on today's episode. Helvetica was played by Brooke Jeanette, a brilliant voice actor and producer on the excellent horror anthology podcast 13. Fans of horrifying audio drama, you have to check it out. Draken was played by Mason Amadeus, co-host of the nonfiction podcast Digital Folklore, and one-third of the hilarious comedy show Podcube. If you want more ridiculous improv like this episode, Podcube is the show for you. This episode was hosted by Hannah Wright and edited by Tal Minear. We'll meet again soon, listeners, but until then, come freely, go safely, and leave something of the happiness you bring. Goodbye.
Me and Benedict sitting in a tree. Vampire. First comes blood, then comes...
I think the horrible blood flames.
The horrible blood flames. Then comes Martin Freeman in a baby carriage.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of slang in the vampire community flows basically up from the youngest generation. So a lot of Gen Z slang. You have got to hear Drake say that something is lit.
When he dabs...
I've tried to tell Drake that one is like, we've gone pretty far past dabbing, but Drake, a lot of times, will come into a room.
I mean, he still like scratches his chin at people. So
yeah,
I
know.
If he's going to fix his favorite.
If he's had a few, he'll be like, hello, everybody, I'm here, blah, 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 dab, dab, dab.
Yeah.
And it's very campy.
Vampy campy. You know, it all kind of comes from the same place.
What was your question?
I don't remember.